And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. We are engaging our students in some of the most important questions you can ask in this life. Who is God? Who is Jesus? And who am I? And how do I fit in all of this? I love that scripture in Matthew because this scripture is telling us to ask the questions that we may have about the Bible and actually not only ask those questions, but it tells us who to ask those questions to and where to direct those questions. And not only ask the questions because those answers will be given to us, but it also directs us to seek truth. And guess what? We will find truth in Jesus Christ. And the third is to knock on our life's purpose. Because guess what? When we seek and when we ask and we're asking God, what is my life's purpose? And when we look to Jesus for our purpose, guess what? That door will be open to us. Tonight, Pastor Alex is speaking to our students on the topic, who is God? And next week, I'll be tackling the topic of who is Jesus. And you know what? I really felt as I was preparing that message, because when I prepare a message, let me just say, that when we have pastors here on the staff, when they prepare a message, they dedicate hours upon hours into the Word of God. And guess what? We see that on a continual basis with Pastor C and Pastor Michael. And I really believe because they do that, it trickles down to the heart of each and every staff member when we're given an opportunity to pour in and dig in deep. And I knew that as I was digging in deep into this message, that I needed to not only share what the Lord has brought me through over there with them, but I was like, man, this stuff is good. And I wanted to share with you what I'm going to bring to the students next week so that you can get a little taste of this initiative that we're taking with our student ministries department. It's so exciting. So tonight we're going to talk, we're going to seek together, and we're going to seek Jesus tonight. Can we do that? Can we all, as we dive into scripture, as we listen to the voice of the Lord tonight, the one thing that I want us to focus on is seeking Jesus. And when we seek Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Our purpose is going to be revealed to us. Now, before I really jump into the meat of that, let's leave it there. I want to tell you the first time that I met Megan, my wonderful wife. I was a junior at Evangel University, and I was working at the school library, and I was doing what school library students do, just kind of sit there and do nothing and just wait for books to come in and out and do homework and just kind of do nothing and wait until my shift was over. But then all of a sudden, it was like a scene from a movie. The door swung open and lights came through, and it's like the heavens opened up and this beautiful angel walked through the door in sweatpants and a messy hair bun. And I was like, who is that? I've never seen her on campus before. And I was like, I need to talk to her. And so she walks up and she's getting prepared for her student teaching. She was a senior and she had to finish up her requirement to be a teacher. She was student teaching at a local high school. So she was rushing in because the next week she was gonna have to start this process of being a teacher. And so she was hole punching all these papers. And I was like, that hole punch machine is on my counter. Perfect opportunity to go talk to her. So I walk over and in the most manly, stud-like way, you know what I'm talking about? Walk over there and I'm thinking of different ways to start this conversation, you know, like fellas in the room, you know what I'm talking about? Like all this stuff is going through your mind. Like, how should I start this conversation? So I go up and I say the smoothest, you know, just most brilliant thing ever. You hole punching some papers? And she, I know, right? It's a shock that she said yes. And she was like, yeah? Of course, yeah, I am. And she probably thought I was crazy. Like, well, who is this guy coming up to me? And the crazy part, it was like the most obvious question, right? Like, of course she was punching some papers. Anyways, fast forward to a couple weeks later, You know, we haven't seen each other because she's a student, she's doing student teaching, and I'm still on campus and she's totally off campus. And so I haven't seen her for a while, and so I'm like, man, like, when am I ever gonna see Megan again? And so I do the most stalker thing you could ever imagine. I message her on Facebook. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Do you remember me? Like, I saw you in the library and I asked you if you were hole punching some papers. Anyways, right? Super weird, right? Anyways, so I message her on Facebook, and guess what happens? Well, if it was Snapchat, she would have done a thing called leaving me on red. So she did not respond for like 4 hours. And I'm thinking, well, I guess she's not interested in me. And I guess she probably just thinks I'm a stalker, because who really starts that conversation on Facebook like that? Come to find out, though, the reason she didn't message me on Facebook is because she gets my message and her first initial thought was stalker, stalker, stalker. And so she goes to her, but then she realizes that I'm a resident assistant of Angela as well. And her best friend is a resident assistant. And so she goes to her best friend, Kirsten, and she's like, hey, do you know this guy named Tyler? He's an RA in Scott Hall. And he like messaged me on Facebook. Do you know him? Can you tell me about him? And luckily for me, I was good friends with Kirsten. And Kirsten, you know, of course she would say, Tyler's good looking, he's a good guy. You know, he's smart, he's romantic. She didn't say any of that. But what she did do is she put in a good word for me. And she said, you know, Tyler's a good guy. He's a hard worker from what I've seen and what I've experienced. He seems like a good guy. Megan, why don't you give him a shot? Like, talk to him. So anyways, after 4 hours, Megan messages me back. And she said, hey, let's meet up. So we go meet up. And our first date was more like an interrogation time. Not on my part, it was on Megan's part. And of course, she thought, stalker, stalker, stalker. So she was gonna use this time as an interrogation moment for me. And so she asked me all sorts of things about where I wanna go in my life and what I would wanna do and if I know how to change a tire and if I know how to change oil in a car and all that stuff. And the cool thing about this story is that our relationship started with a simple question, an obvious question, a question that was so out of the blue for Megan, and it's very obvious, but it started with a simple question. And I'm gonna get back to that later on in my message. But more importantly, our relationship happened because there was someone who was able to speak on my behalf. And tonight, when we're seeking Jesus, one of the most important things that we can remember in our relationship with Jesus, when people are seeking all sorts of things in the world, that because of sin, we've been separated from the Father, and there's no access back to him. But it's because of Jesus dying on the cross for us, that just like Kirsten spoke on my behalf, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he's speaking on our behalf to God the Father, and he's acting like a bridge so that we can get from being lost, depressed, not having a purpose in our life, but we can get to have a relationship with God the Father through the sacrificial death and the resurrection through Jesus Christ. And so that's why I'm excited about tonight. And that's why I'm excited to share this message with you and share it with the students. Because when we seek Jesus, we find purpose. And when we seek Jesus, we have a bridge to a relationship with God the Father. And so let me ask you, have you ever wrestled with the question, who is Jesus? Again, a simple question, right? And actually, for some people who've maybe been in the church your entire life, an obvious question, like, of course I know who Jesus is. But let me continue to show you who Jesus is through the eyes of a skeptic, an insider, and an outcast. And through these three examples, my goal is for you to, A, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that tonight you'll start your relationship with Jesus for the first time. And that you'll meet the Savior. And not only that, but you'll meet and encounter God. And second, that you'll find your purpose in what God has put you on this earth to do through the life of Jesus. So the skeptic. The first part that we're going to talk about is a skeptic. And I want to get back to the ask, seek, and knock. This first story has to do with the ask portion of that scripture. How many of you remember, it was a few years back, how many of you remember when it snowed here in Yuba City? It wasn't a long time ago, but I was in elementary school when that happened. And I remember I was sleeping and my mom came into my room and she said, Tyler, it is snowing outside. And I remember thinking, like, snowing in Yuba City? Like, really? Like, snowing? And my mom was like, no, really, you need to go outside. It's snowing. I was skeptical at first that it was snowing based on the usual weather conditions of where we live, right? After my mom insisted that it was snowing, I got up out of bed, looked outside, and what did I see? Snow. I saw it snowing outside, and I was super excited because it never snows here. And so I was like, Mom, can we please not go to school? Like, let me stay home. Let me play in the snow that's maybe like this high off the ground, but let me stay home because, like, it never snows here, like in Yuba City. And my mom says, no, and there was two reasons why she said no, so she's not a terrible parent, just to let everybody know. So the first reason she said no is because she had to go to work. The second reason is because she was worried about my education, right? So she was like, no, Tyler, you and Justin, you got to go to school. And so she said, you got to go to school, and you'll be able to play in the snow at school with your friends. And so we're like, okay, let's go. And so we go to school and I get out of the car and I'm super excited to be able to go play with my friends. And we get there a little early before school starts so I can go and we can like have a snowball fight with not very much snow, but we can do it. And we go and I like step foot on the snow. And then one of my teachers yells at me. She's like, everybody get inside. And so we get inside and she says, nobody, all recesses, all everything like that is going to be inside today because it is way too dangerous for all of you to be outside in the snow. And so the whole school day, come on now, talk about a long day, right? Like the whole day I'm hoping, please, I want to play in the snow. Let's track back. I went from a skeptic about the snow, now desiring to be able to be in the snow, to not being allowed to be in the snow and waiting the entire day to play in the snow. I get home and there's no more snow. It melted. By the time I got home, it melted. And I went from being a skeptic about the snow to being excited about the snow to being discouraged because I couldn't play in the snow to then being super discouraged because the snow was gone. I feel that too many people, both young and old, have the same experience when it comes to their faith. That, you know what? They have questions. They want to know who this Jesus is. And sometimes they aren't getting those answers. And not only that, but they're told, hey, you know what? That's not what you need to do. Just do this, do that, do that. And the first encounter I want to look at is a subtle but powerful one with a skeptical student. And so I really believe for all of you in this room and when I speak to the students that this point right here about a skeptic student is going to hit home when it comes to seeking Jesus. Where should we look for our answers to the big questions of life? And more importantly, this question is huge because even though we may have questions, let me make sure I get this point across. It's okay to have questions about our faith and about the Bible, but we need to remember, we need to know where to seek those answers. We can't just go to everyone and ask for the answer to those questions because not everybody is going to be able to know and be able to equip us with the appropriate answer. So let me make sure that point gets across, like, hey, I can have all the questions I want. I'm going to go to this person. No, that's not what I'm trying to say, okay? So right now, we're going to jump into the book of John for the skeptical student that we're going to talk about. And in the book of John, in those days, there weren't universities and there weren't schools. If you were a student, you would attach yourself to a teacher and you would follow them around, learn from them. So we're going to learn from a few of them. We're going to learn from Andrew, who had a brother, Peter, and Philip. But more importantly, we're going to learn from the skeptical student, which is Nathaniel. And Nathaniel and his friends right here, they were originally attached to John the Baptist as their teacher. And then this is what happens. John the Baptist is proclaiming the news about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the Savior. And these students, with John's blessings, are leaving his teaching and going to Jesus' teaching. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to them, "Follow me." So Philip went from being a student of John the Baptist and now he's a student of Jesus. "Follow me." Now Philip went to Peter and John and they followed. And then Philip went to Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Then Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree and I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater than these," he said to him. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I want to pause there for a minute. So at this point in the story, we have a group of students, one very skeptical of this person named Jesus. He goes along with his buddy to meet Jesus regardless. And in that moment, he walks up to Jesus and then Jesus kind of calls him out because Jesus knew that he was a skeptic. Jesus knew that Nathanael was coming with questions and wondering about who this Jesus was. Nathanael, but here's the issue. Like I said, it's okay to have questions, but this was what was wrong with Nathanael's questions. Nathanael could not believe that somebody from a place like Nazareth had the answers to the big question of our time. He was saying, "You're telling me that our Messiah, Jesus, comes from Nazareth?" Now, let me hit the point home. When we become like Nathanael in that regard, it can become very dangerous for us because we could get to the point where we say, "You know what? This Jesus thing, it's great. I've been there, tried that. It didn't work for me. It didn't work for me." That, or you know what? Maybe it can work for other people's, but it's not going to work for me. And so he is not being open to the possibility that Jesus is the Messiah at first. And so that's the first danger that many of us can get into is the openness of the truth that comes from God. And you know what? Even those of us who have been in church all of our lives, guess what? There's things that I learn new every single day. But if I'm not open to being able to learn about them, then I'm going to be the worst. I'm going to be just like Nathanael in this instance. But if we are able to go through life being open to learning new ideas and learning new things, then Jesus is going to be able to use us in a powerful way. And guess what? Even though Nathanael was in that moment right now, Jesus saw that, called him out, but then proclaimed his purpose over Nathanael, that he was gonna see the heavens open. He was gonna see angels ascend and descend. So just because Nathanael was a skeptic at the moment, he asked questions, then Jesus answered them. Not only that, but Nathanael also viewed the Messiah just like a lot of us view, or some of us, maybe not here in the room, but some of us view Christianity when it comes to morality, okay? So there's students in universities, and maybe you're in this room, where you think to yourself, you know what? I don't know about the whole Jesus thing. I don't know if God is real. And you know what? There's some things in the Bible where I'm kind of sure that they aren't real. But you know what I do like in the Bible? I love like all the good stuff. I love like, you know, the being kind to the neighbors and doing all that stuff of give to the poor and everything like that. But I want to leave everything else out. That can become dangerous because of this very reason. We're talking about seeking Jesus, right? If we leave out all of the stuff, like the blood of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, if we leave out the all the terrible stuff that we see in the Bible of people killing each other and ravishing lands, if we leave all that stuff out, then it mutes the impact. that God had to put his own son through by sending him to the world. It mutes the very impact of what Jesus did for us. Because if we leave all that stuff out and by Jesus coming to the world, it wouldn't have meant nothing. But because he came to a broken world where wars have ravished it of lands and people have broken away families because of bad things have happened, Jesus stripped off his godlike nature, came to earth, so that he can walk among us and he can experience what it means to be human, so that he can go through life sinless, so that, then he could go and die on the cross for us. So when we take all that stuff that just doesn't make sense to us sometimes out of the picture, we're muting the impact that Jesus has in our lives. We need to seek Jesus, and we see through both the life of Nathaniel, that when we ask questions, that Jesus will answer to those who seek. And actually, let me bring up one other thing before I move on, because I want to bring up Thomas actually in relationship to Nathaniel, because Nathaniel, he was skeptical, kind of asked a question, and then Jesus rebuked him. Now let me answer why Jesus rebuked him actually in relation to Thomas. Thomas, if you remember, he's called Doubting Thomas. When Jesus died and everybody was talking about, Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. And then Thomas said, okay, you know what? I'm only going to believe it when I'm able to put my fingers in the very nail prints of Jesus's hands. And then I'll believe. There's a difference in approaches. And Thomas was not rebuked. Jesus appeared to him and allowed him to put his fingers in his hand for this reason. Thomas, he was skeptical, but he was asking a lot of questions with the intent of learning and finding out more. Whereas Nathaniel, in this instance, he was like, psh, there's nothing from Nazareth. There's nothing that good comes from there. And then Jesus rebukes him because he wasn't asking questions with the ability to try to find out more information. So that's a very dangerous place to be when it comes to our walk with Christ. Okay, let's go now into the insider and the outcast. And these two go hand in hand. Biblically, no one can escape the verdict of being a sinner. And that's the point of these next two stories. Let's first address the outcast encounter of Jesus, because it starts us off with a picture of sin that most of us in this room would recognize. And this encounter comes from the woman at the well found in Joshua 4. Joshua 4, Jesus is traveling with his disciples through Samaria, which is outside of Judea. When he gets to the town, his disciples leave to get something to eat, and Jesus is very weary and thirsty. And at the sixth hour, which is noon, in the heat of the day, he goes to the well, and he has no other way of getting water out of the well because he does not have a water jar. But then a lone woman comes to draw water from the well, and he says, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman says to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with the well, because this well is deep. Where can you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well to drink from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. And she replied, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true, sir, the woman said. I can see that you're a prophet. The first striking feature of this story is the radical move that Jesus makes by initiating this conversation. I talked about this last time I was in here. He was breaking every racial and cultural bounds by having this conversation with this woman. And I explained last time that this racial bound goes very deep into the very history of Israel. And if you want to know more, I can tell you more afterwards if you weren't here when I spoke on that. But not only that, but this was a teacher, a prophet, that was having a conversation with a woman, not only a woman, but a woman that has a shady past. So when Jesus speaks to her, he is deliberately reaching across every significant barriers that people can come up between themselves. In this case, it's a racial and cultural barrier and a gender barrier and a moral barrier. In every convention of that time, he is a Jewish man, should have nothing to do whatsoever with her, but he doesn't care. Do you see how radical that is? He reaches across all humans' divide in order to connect with her. And she is amazed that this man would do that. And let's pause for a little bit. What is Jesus talking about when he's saying living water? And why is he using that illustration for this woman? See, most of us here in America do not know what it is to live in a place where water is hard to come by, am I right? Like, it is readily available to each and every one of us. We can get water at any time. But now in this time, in that climate, water was very scarce and hard to come by. And so when he was saying that I can give you living water that will never run dry, it immediately perked her interest. Because she was wanting to be able to have that water so she wouldn't have to keep coming back to this well. Now let me explain why she did not want to come back to the well. And this is where it hits home for us. Jesus is saying to this outcast, I have something that's for you, that's so basic in necessity, that's so necessary to you spiritually as it is physically. You see, this woman, she had to come to this well every single day to get water. But if you notice, she came at noon, which is kind of weird because in that culture, because of the heat, people would come in the morning to draw their water. She was an outcast. She had a shady lifestyle. And so she came at a certain time where there was going to be no other people so she can do what she needs to do without the agony of being pointed at, without the agony of past mistakes coming up to haunt her, without the agony of being ridiculed and hurt. And she's at this place in her life where she's going to get water to quench her thirst. And she's going back every single day to quench her thirst, but she's also trying to avoid every single thing that's going wrong in her life. And guess what happens? In this moment of seeking, this moment of getting water that is going to refresh her physically, Jesus meets her to refresh her spiritually. And Jesus comes to her and asks a very bold question about her past. And I want to pause here because some people, when they read that passage, they may be thinking, that was really rude of Jesus. Why did he say that? Why did he bring up her past? Why did he do that? The reason he did that is because he wanted this woman to see that in order for her to get water that never runs dry, the spiritual water that he can provide, he needed to show her what in her life she is using to put in place of that spiritual water. You see, this woman, she was burying in her deep past of sin, and she was going from guy to guy to try to quench her thirst of being in pain and being hurt. And she didn't want to be an outcast, so she was doing all these different things to fill up her need for love. And Jesus looks at her and says, I can fill your need for love. Whatever you've done, I can fill your need. Now let us turn to the last encounter that I want to talk about, and it's the insider. And this man, Nicodemus, is an insider because he's the religious leader of his time and of his day. Now a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was the member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can anyone be born again if they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying this. You must be born again. Do you notice how different of a conversation that Jesus had with each of these individuals? He's very gentle and loving and showing love to this woman at the well, but he's being very direct and saying that you must be born again, Nicodemus, if you're going to know me. He's doing that because Nicodemus grew up in a culture and a society where he should know what it means to be morally right and what it means to be a religious leader. What does that mean for us? There's some of us in this room, there's some of us who have grown up in church our whole entire lives, and we can fall into the category in what Nicodemus fell into, where we say, you know what? I know what it means to be a religious leader. I know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And for our students, what it could also mean is, you know what? I am a Christian because I grew up in this church and because my parents are Christian. Or I grew up here so I have the right to Jesus just because of that. And it's a very dangerous place to be in because we lose our passion and desire to seek the things of the Lord. And some of us in the room will be saying, well, I haven't lost my passion. I haven't, Tyler, I'm not like this spiritual leader. I'm not like this woman at the well. I'm not like this skeptic. And you know what? Like, I'm not like any of those things. I want to live a good life and I want to do things that are right. I want to do things that are fair. And I can do all those things without following Jesus. Let me give you this illustration. What would you say to a person that is a single mom and she has a son and she's raising him to the best of her ability and she's trying to give him the best education, the best food, she's trying to provide for him the best way that she can. And then he steps into college and she says, I'm gonna pay for your college because I want you to do better in your life than you can ever imagine. And all I want you to do is I want you to do good by people. I want you to give to the poor. I want you to be a morally good person. And I want you to have a relationship with me because I'm your mom and I love you. And he goes through school and he has that desire to do stuff that's morally good and live right and give to the poor and do things that are right. And then he graduates college and he does that. He's doing things that are awesome for the world. He's being moral. He's feeding thousands of people. He's helping and he's doing all this thing, but he doesn't ever speak to his mom. He never calls her. Maybe he'll send her a birthday card once a year and say, hey, thinking about you, love you. Would you say that what he's doing is right? Would you say what he's doing is, would you condone that? Would you say, you know what, this person, that's exactly who I want to be. That's exactly what I want to do in my life. And I would say that most of us in the room, and I don't know what each and every one of us is going through when it comes to family, but each and every one of us would say that, you know, that's probably not how it should be. And I would say that that's not how it should be for us either when it comes to Jesus. That we can do so many good things morally, but without Jesus, we're missing the taproot that comes from the Word of God. We're missing the very thing that gives us morality. We're missing the very thing that gives us a purpose in this life. So let me say it again. Who is Jesus? It's a simple question, right? In Matthew's gospel, we see this simple question be brought to a head in talking to Jesus. In Matthew 16, 13 through 19, now when Jesus came to Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or other prophets. And Jesus says to them, but who do you say I am? Simple question, right? And you know, I can almost imagine the disciples, right? Because at this point, they've seen who Jesus is. They've seen the miracles that Jesus has performed in front of their eyes. They've seen Jesus do all these sorts of things that no one else can ever imagine. They've seen how Jesus has fulfilled the prophecies that have come before him. And Jesus sitting down in the midst of his friends saying, who do you say I am? Having a deep conversation together. Who do you say I am? And I can imagine the disciples saying, that's a really obvious question, Jesus. Like, we've seen you do all this stuff. But then Peter speaks up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has. And I tell you, you are Peter. And listen to what he does. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Wow. Did you just see that? A simple, obvious question that Jesus asked his disciples. And after traveling with Jesus for a while, the disciples got it. They got who Jesus was. And Simon says, well, Simon did anyways, you are the Messiah. You are Jesus. And then Jesus then gives Simon his purpose to be the rock in which the church will be built on. And I love this passage because it speaks to us. When we find, when we seek, when we find who Jesus is, we will be given our purpose. And that's what the importance of this message is. More than anything else, seek Jesus. Ask the questions like the skeptic. Seek like Nicodemus. He went to Jesus. And then when you feel like an outcast, when you feel like everybody's just shaming you, that they look at you for all that you've done, you can knock on the door of Jesus and he'll open it up, and then you will not be an outcast anymore. And not only that, you'll be given a purpose. You know, just like Megan's friend was an advocate for me to Megan, if it weren't for Megan's friend, I would not have a relationship with my awesome. And you, if you know Megan, she is awesome. Heck, woo! Like, I still am wondering, how the heck did this happen? When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we were given a purpose through the relationship with Jesus and God the Father. And not only that, but we are given the bridge to have a relationship with God. That is the gospel. And that gospel is the same for the skeptics, the believers, the insiders, the outside, the outcast, and everybody in between. Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you for our time here together. Lord, I pray.